So we wanted to talk about a very interesting topic that I chose to name it, lighting up the candles that is within me, is because we are always faced with a situation that I do a certain effort. And of course I'm talking about in my spiritual growth. I work on myself and I see a result, and then I somehow go back to square one. So, for example, I have problems with controlling my anger. So I really work on myself. I really work on my patience not to burst out in anger. And I meditate on it, and I pray, and I work on myself, and I do my bodedut on it, and I do my bonenut on it, and I do all my efforts. And it works good for 2-3 weeks. And then, boom, something comes and throws me off. And then I'm back to square one. And I feel that all my effort that I did was in vain. And this is one example out of many. I just mentioned anger. But it can be almost anything. It can be almost anything that you can imagine. You have to relate with something. You come up, you can think of what relates to you. But we often find that we do an effort. And the thing is that some people are in a very low level that they didn't even get to understand that they have to work on themselves. That's a low level. And Bezat Hashem, they're also going to get to the point that they're going to understand at some point that they need to work on themselves. And if they don't know, it's in our job to actually point it out to people. But you see a lot of people that they have problems with anger or jealousy or depression or sadness or many other things, and they're still stuck in that level. And they don't even try to work on that. That's a whole different thing. We're not talking about that level right now. We're talking right now about the level that I do know that I have a problem or something that I need to work on. I'm saying problem, but it's not necessarily the right word to say a problem. Something that I need to work on. It can be even in a positive thing. I just mentioned a negative thing that I have to work on my anger or my patience. This can be also in a good thing. I want now to add something in my Avodat Hashem. I want to add something good. And I'm saying, okay, from today, every day, I want to pray. I want to pray every day. And I want to make sure that I'm not missing that prayer a day. And for 2-3 weeks, I'm going and going, and I'm not missing the prayer, and I'm doing it exactly how it has to be done. Boom! After 2-3 weeks, pitom, one day, I'm off. I fell. And then again, I have 3-4 days that I'm not praying. And then again, climb myself, build myself up. And again, I'm giving one example out of many. You use your own imagination to connect it to your own life. And everybody has something like that. Whether it's in the negative aspect of it, that I have to fight something negative in myself, or in the positive. I mean, we make achlatot, we make these resolutions, and we say, okay, starting this week, every day I'm reading my daily portion of Tehillim. And starting this week, I'm going to go to a class every Tuesday in Be'er Miriam, or whatever. You make your hachlata.
You're talking about the union of perseverance or something else.
No, anything. I'm talking right now. Excuse me?
Deciding to do, and then you stop.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So that's the union of perseverance.
I don't know the term that you use, but yeah. But I'm not. This is one example out of many, because I'm trying to paint a very general idea now. That I start something, I work on it, I have success for a certain while, and then I fail again. So if you look at it in the negative part, in the negative angle, so it's something that I want to stop doing. So I want to stop lying. I'm working on myself. Every day I'm aware that I can't lie. And every time I have an opportunity that I want to say a lie, I'm really holding myself. I'm aware of the situation, and I'm working on myself. Or Lashon Hara. Or stealing, or any bad thing. I'm working on myself. I have a period that I'm very aware of the situation, and then I had a weak day, and boom, I fell. And then it throws me off, because I had a good run for 2-3 weeks, or 2-3 months, and boom, I fell. And the failing, the nefilah, throws me off. And then I fall into this pit again, and then climb up again. And you see it with anything. So I gave one example in the negative part of it, And in the negative side, then you can find many things, and each one can relate with something else. One person has a problem with Lashon Hara. One person has a problem with lying. Another person has a problem with stealing. Another person looking in the wrong places. Each person is dealing with something that they are aware that it's bad and they're working on it. And again, this only pertains to a certain individual group, because some people, they don't even know. They're not even aware that they have a problem. They're not even working on it. Taking the exact same concept can be also looked at in the positive side. That I'm saying, okay, from today I'm making a change, I'm taking a achlata, a resolution. From today I'm praying mincha every day, and I'm not missing it. And the first day I'm making, the second day I'm making, the third day, and after 2-3 weeks or 4 or 5 weeks, one day I didn't make it for whatever reason. The Yetzirah overpowered me, and I fall down. I fall down from my level. So I'm just giving different scenarios. I want to more talk through the concept how I'm getting out of it, rather how I got into it. You have to use your own imagination in all your own life. What is that going to do with me? So I'll give you an example. Let's say I had a certain achlata this year that I'm going to learn a page of Gemara every day. Okay? I'm just giving you a personal example. So now my Yetzer Hara is going to work overtime. So I'm not going to be able to come to the point that I can learn one page of Gemara every day. He is going to come with all the manipulations. This person will need my help. That person asks for advice. Now I have to prepare for a class. Everything, the Yetzer Hara is going to do whatever he can to get me out of my balance. So I will not do my Hachlata. Now then I'll have a good run. The first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, I'm working like a machine. I'm not missing it. And it's in my awareness that I have to work. And I can't miss it. I can't miss it. Comes already halfway through the day, I have to do my Daf Gemara. And then the Yetzer Hara one day will come and make me fail, meaning that day I missed it. So in most cases, the person falls into some type of a despair. Ah, I broke my cycle. The Yetzer Hara won this time. Now a strong individual says, he quotes Rabbi Nachman from Breslov and says, "And Yerush Ba'olam, there's no such a thing. Nothing happened. I missed it today. Tomorrow I'll do 2 pages and I'm continuing. Nothing happened." Most people will not hold on this level and it will throw them down. So it will go from Monday to second day, third day, and before you know it, 2 weeks. Wow, I didn't do 2 weeks what I wanted to do. So again, this is one example out of many that we have a good run for 2-3 weeks, 3-4 months, and then I fail. And again, this is, I gave a few examples. Use your own imagination where you find it in your life. And again, it's the awareness that I need to work on myself. It can be more in a more tangible way, in a mitzvah. It can be in a more not tangible way, with a certain a character trait that I have, whatever it is. The point is that my life is constantly going to go up and down and up and down. Now is how do I deal with it? Because I work on myself so hard, and then boom, I fall down and I'm on my face, and I feel like all my work was in vain, and I really fall down. And then it's very hard to rise up again. So the point is that this is exactly what the Yetzer Hara wants. The Yetzer Hara wants you to feel that you're on your face, that you fell down. He paints it in such a way that you failed, that you basically were not able to do what you're supposed to do. That's just the hastara, the concealment of the Yetzer Hara. But really, the world has a certain rhythm. Everything in this life has a rhythm. But the rhythm of this world is a rhythm that goes in motions of ups and downs. Up and down. Now where do you see it the most? Go to a hospital, not aleinu, and you see a person that is connected to the monitor. There you see the line goes up, down. Tit, 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 up, down, up, down. Now if chas v'shalom, that line becomes straight, then the person dies. This is a flat line. So the rhythm of life, it goes up, it goes down. It goes up, it goes down. How come the medical technician did not make it in a different way? Why did they have to make the monitor going up and down? Couldn't they make it like with bubbles going up? That every time it goes up, a bubble goes, and when it goes down, the bubble explodes? Why did the technician, the medical technician, decide that the monitor will go up and down? Because the rhythm of life is up and down. One time I'm up, and one time I'm down. There's a very interesting video. Somebody sent it to me. You can look at it online. That it's a video from a satellite from Earth, from space. And you see the world is breathing. You saw the video? Beautiful. You see like the world, the globe, Earth is breathing. And the movement, because you see the oceans are moving. There's currently currents in the oceans. Now winds are moving forests. So all the trees are moving like that. When you're looking at it from above, you see that Earth is like breathing in, out, in, out. Beautiful video. So, Bechlal, we see that the movement in this world is always movement here. The ocean, there's current and tide. The winds are moving from side to side. There's a certain rhythm to the world. Everything has a rhythm. So the rhythm of this world is going up and down and up and down. So my life is always going to go up and down and up and down. And if my life is not going up and down, and my life is straight, then that's scary. Because that's bringing me to a flat line. That's death. That's a spiritual death. So if my life is not moving constantly, then I'm experiencing this spiritual death. So this Yetzer Hara is going to constantly going to come to present this rhythm of life as a failure. So when I'm up, I feel good. I achieved the goals that I put to myself. I achieved them. I was able to wake up every morning and go to the minyan. I was able to do my daily tehillim for 4 months straight. I did not miss one day. So when I have the success, that's when I'm up. But when I go down, I perceive it as failure. I perceive it as that I failed in what I'm supposed to do. But really, it's not my failure. That's the rhythm of the world. This is what's called Aliyah, and then I have a Yerida, and then Aliyah. Aliyah is ascending, Yerida is going down. And when I go down, then the Yerida, the going down is Yerida. Let's go Aliyah. I go down in order to ascend. I go down to catch momentum. Not only that, if you look at the main action that gives us life. What is the main action that gives us life? Is breathing. How do you breathe? So even if you look at breathing, I go in, my body even goes up. I go, I breathe out, I exhale, my body goes down. My entire rhythm is up and down and up and down. Now if I'm going to only inhale, I have to exhale. I have to throw out some air. Now, if you want to look at the medical part of it, I inhale oxygen and I exhale, I don't know how you call it in English, carbon dioxide. So I exhale toxins. I inhale a certain gas, air, and it goes through some type of a process, and then I exhale, so to say, poison. So if I'm going to take the example of breathing, so when I go up, I'm inhaling. I'm pumping my neshama with something positive. But then I have to exhale. I have to throw out some bad things out of my system. So I will go down. Now the Yetzer Hara right away will take the opportunity. You failed. You're a loser. And what is he going to do? He's going to push you down. When you going in the motion of down, but it doesn't mean you're going down. It doesn't mean you fell down. Now the Yetzer Hara is going to take the auspicious time to push you on the ground. But this is just the trick of the Yetzer Hara. On Friday, when we sing Lecha Dodi, this is a very holy song that was compiled by Rabbi Shlomo Elkabetz, that you can go and visit his grave. It's exactly 5 minute walk from here. And he's buried next to the Arizal. That in itself just goes to show you the level of where he was, if he's buried next to the Arizal. But he compiled a beautiful song that it was somehow all the congregations and all the communities took the song and sing it. All the congregations and all the communities are singing Lecha Dodi on Erev Shabbat. And in this holy song, in the fourth line, he says a very interesting line. He says, "V'itnari me'afar kumi, v'livshi bigdei tifartech ami." What does it mean? "V'itnari me'afar kumi." Me'afar kumi is get up from the dust. "Hitnari" is like shake it away, shake it off. Now you see animals when they fall in the dust, they get up, they like shake themselves, and all the dust goes out. This is the concept of "Itnari me'afar kumi." Afar is the dust. When I fall down to the dust, I get all dirty. So I don't shake myself, I just brush myself off. But if any dirt is going to fall on me now, I'm going to brush it off. I don't have the action of an animal to shake myself. But he says, "Hitnari me'afar kumi." Get out from the dust and shake it off. Now, what's the action that's going to be after that? "V'livshi bigdei tifartech ami." Where? The clothes, the garments of the glory of my nation. Meaning that my entire action here is I'm going to fall into the klipa. That's part of the cycle. I have to fall down. There's a reason why I fall down. I fall down in order for me to rise up and to take something with me. I mean, if I have to now sift a diamond from the dirt, I have to get myself dirty. If I'm now going to take a sack of diamonds and throw it into a pile of sand, or more exact, in a pile of mud, you're not going to think once or twice or three times, you're going to jump into the mud, even if it's with your brand new suit or your brand new dress, because you already see that diamonds are way more valuable than what I'm wearing. And I want to pull out these diamonds from this mud. So there are diamonds in the world of the klipot. This is the world of klipot. Klipa is a husk, is a negative energy that opposes kedusha, and all these diamonds are captured by the klipa. I came down to this world to start moving these diamonds out. Now how am I going to move the diamond if I don't go into the klipa? If I'm standing like this and I meditate for the diamond to come out of the mud, it's not going to come out. I have to go in and get myself dirty, pull out the diamond. Then I brush off the dirt. So the concept is that I came down to the world to refine the world. I came to clean the world. I came to shine my place in the universe. So now in order to shine, I have to get dirty a little bit. So I see it as a failure. When I fall down, I see it as a failure. But this is just my emotion. Because you can't and you will never be successful 100%. I'm using the wrong word. I actually take back the word successful, because you'll never be consistent in a way. Let's say the word consistent instead of successful, because let's say I made myself a decision that I'm reading every day a portion of Tehillim. I will never be 100% consistent. There will be one day that I missed it. There's no such a thing. No human being can be so consistent. And once in a blue, I mean, you can be consistent for 10 years, don't get me wrong. But there's always going to be some type of a break. Now, here it's broken down into different categories, because some things you have to get to a level that you're overpowered. So some things, and again, this is broken down to the categories where I said before, the positive and the negative. The positive, in most cases, you will have some type of a break. Whether it's reading the Tehillim every day, or praying every day, or doing something, that you make a decision, akhlata, at some point you will have to have a break. Because the action is positive, it's like the inhaling, I have to have a break. But in the regards to the positive, to the negative, I want to strive to get to a point that it doesn't have a break. Because if I once had a problem with stealing, then I need to do my tshuva, and my tshuva will only be completed when I stop stealing forever and never repeating it again. Which means it never repeats itself. And if it repeated itself, it means that I didn't do tshuva. My tshuva is not complete. My tshuva is complete when I don't do the sin anymore. And people ask me, how do I know my tshuva is done? Is the way you don't do it anymore. If you don't do it anymore, it means that that's it. You did your tshuva. Doing tshuva is not a general thing. It's a very personal thing. I can do tshuva for 50 things, stealing, lying, lashon hara, and jealousy. And I still have to do tshuva for many other things that I didn't do. I can be 20 years about tshuva, and I'm still doing tshuva for many things. So, in the negative thing is that in order to achieve the success, then it cannot repeat itself ever again. And you see that the best example in the physical world is a person who's an addict. and he has a drug addiction, a gambling addiction, alcohol addiction. The point is that they never get back to it. You can be, and they call themselves an addict. 40 years, they're clean. I'm still an addict. Why? Because there's always the spark that can be ignited like that and go back to exactly square one. So I have two concepts here, the negative and the positive. In the negative, that's my avodat teshuva. That's where I have to constantly battle, and for that I was created. And that's why Rabbi Nachman comes and says, "En yeush ba'olam," because there's not even such a concept to point to despair, because the despair is the screen of the Yetzer Hara. There's no such a thing. When Rabbi Nachman says, "En yeush ba'olam," it doesn't mean that I have to constantly be like, okay, I'm never going to fall into despair. He says it doesn't even exist, that thing. The concept of despair, of yeush, doesn't even exist. It's the Yetzer Hara that came and added it into the dictionary. That the Yetzer Hara will come and present a situation as a failure, that you'll fall into despair. Because if you now will have an action of chas v'shalom, a failure, and I will come and tell you, that's exactly what I wanted, then you're not going to think that it was a failure. You'll be like, oh great, I succeeded. It's the Yetzer Hara that will come and tell you it's failure, and then he pulls you into sadness, into yeush. In the positive part of it, the positive part is that I'm always going to have a drawback. It's not normal not to have a drawback. Almost any Baal Tshuva can testify, especially the ones who are Baal Tshuva for 20 and 30, 40 years, there's always drawbacks. There's always a period that you're a little bit low, that you're not on fire, that you're not excited. That's totally normal. The point is not to get affected by it, is not to be overwhelmed by it, is not to let it throw me off my balance. It's a total normal thing. It's a spiritual vacation. You have to have it. It's not normal not to have it. You can't be all the time going up. If you look at anything natural that goes up, it has ups and downs. You ever saw a plane taking off? I don't know if you noticed it. The plane goes up and goes a little bit down. Goes up, a little bit down. You feel it when the plane has these air pockets. If you think it's an air pocket, it's the plane going up and then it goes a little bit down. It goes up, a little bit down, because it has to go with the currents of the winds. If you're looking even at the stock market, you see the line is going up, down, up, down. The bankers, they don't get all uptight when it goes down a little bit, because it's a total natural thing to go down a little bit and go up again. The point is not to be overwhelmed and not to take it to heart that I'm regressing now. It's not regressing. I'm taking air again. So again, you have to separate it from the positive and the negative. And this is a more in-depth topic to talk about. I just want to cover the general idea that I constantly have the point that I'm going up and then I'm going down. Now, why is that connected to Hanukkah? Because I have 8 candles. And originally, the sages said, no, we should light one candle 8 days. Why should we light 8? We should light every day one candle. That's why the bracha goes, ladlik ner Chanukah, not nerot Chanukah. If you notice, the first night makes sense to say, asher gishanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu ladlik ner Chanukah. One candle. Why am I saying on the second night ner Chanukah and not nerot Chanukah? The reason why I'm saying ner Chanukah, because I explained before that each candle possesses one piece of the Or HaGanuz, so it has to be ner, and each candle, the bracha goes to one candle. But the first opinion of our sages was to light one candle. Then another opinion said we should light 8 candles, 8 days. Then they came in the Holy Spirit, in Ruach HaKodesh, to do, first day we light one, then the second day we light two, and then the third day we light three, and so forth. The point to take from that is that I constantly go up. I have what's called Seder Ole. There was another opinion that said let's light 8, and the second night we light 7, and the third night we light 6, and going down. The point of Chanukah is that I constantly light a candle, it shines, brings this beautiful light, and then it turns out. And then back to square one, I'm back into the darkness. So the next day, I light 2, double power. And then the third day, I light 3, triple power. And you see that in your Avodat Hashem. First, when I was where I was holding, I was in a very low level. If you look back at your history, the power of a Baal Tshuva is to look back and say, where was I 10 years ago? Where was I 8 years ago? Where was I 6 years ago? Ooh, 10 years ago. No, I'm not even close to where I am now. That's the power of the Baal Tshuva, to tap himself on his back and saying, I might not be exactly where I want to be. The mountain is still very high, but let me take a glimpse for a second where I was. Ooh, 2 years ago, I wasn't even close to where I am now. And 10 years ago? 15 years ago? Where, you know where I was 10, 15 years ago? That's the power of the Baal Tshuva, to look back and say, not to look how high the mountain is, because the mountain, you're never going to see the end. But you can look back and see how much you climbed. And this is the concept that the candles are going up and up and up, because you're constantly adding. This is where the Yetzer Hara is going to come and put, you know, a stumbling block between your legs so you fall. The going down is nothing negative. It's just you taking momentum. It's just you going back and inhaling, and you're taking more power. The point to take from that is that my life is constantly going to be, I'm going to light a candle. It will burn, turn out. I'll light another candle and another candle. I'm constantly lighting the candles in me. It's totally natural. It's totally human that I'm constantly going to continue and continue lighting more and more and more. The point is to see in it is not the result, is the effort. And our sages tell us that the most important part of the mitzvah is the effort to do the mitzvah. Not only to actually do the mitzvah, it's the effort. And you can see that in almost in every mitzvah that we have, how much effort goes into putting a mitzvah, to doing the mitzvah. You know how much effort takes to make tefillin? There's online, somebody made a video that it shows years of the process, how to make a pair of tefillin, or parchment for the mezuzah, or building a sukkah. It takes 2 hours to build a sukkah. Almost any mitzvah that you do, you want to do the mitzvah of etrog, takes a whole year to grow it. You want to eat a Shabbos meal, takes you exactly an hour to eat it, 2 days to cooking. So the effort of the mitzvah, of preparing for the mitzvah, in some cases counts more. So in everything in our life, it's about the effort, not about the result. Because the result, that has to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whether I'm going to succeed or fail, that's in the hands of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's how much effort is put in it. And if there's no effort, there's no fight, then nothing much comes out of it. The more effort I put, the more kvetch there is, the more fight to get to the result, that's the point. That's what I was created for, to strive and to fight and to work hard. That's why now we see on Hanukkah, how do we light the candles? With pure olive oil. I mean, to halakha, we can light the candles with any type of oil we want. You can light it with canola oil. But the point is that the nicest way, the most mehudav, is to light it with pure olive oil. And that only happens when you crush the olive. You cannot get pure olive oil if you don't crush the olive. And the olive is a very hard fruit. So we have to be crushed for this pure olive oil to come out. So it's a total normal thing to work on yourself. And work on yourself and put a little effort and to concentrate and to meditate and to put all your energy in it, and you're successful for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month, and then you fall down. The point is, how I see it, is when you fall down, is not the failure, is the exhale. I have to inhale and exhale. This is my exhale. I'm getting out, and when I fall down, so to say, it's only for me going down to enable to pull out another diamond, because the diamonds are on the floor. And I'm on purpose saying diamonds, because diamonds are very valuable. And a person will jump into the mud to get the diamond. So I'm falling into the mud, so it seems like I get dirty, but it's only the external parts. So I take a shower, I'll take my clothes off, I'll wash my clothes off, but I got the diamond. And the diamonds are these holy sparks, this nitzotzot kedusha, that I have to take out of the klipah and elevate them. So when you work, you get dirty. You work in where the cows are, you get dirty. That's how it is. But you derive something positive out of it. The point that it's just a frame of mind. If you're looking at something negative as negative, then it will pull you to a negative side. But if you're looking at it, it's part of the process, part of the healing, part of your work. It's not, then it might seem negative, but it's just the external part that brings you to the next level. So next time that you fall down in your level, or you feel that you failed in your process, don't let the Yetzer Hara come and cover it as a failure. Rather understand, okay, that's what I have to go through. And the teachings of Rabbi Nachman from Breslev, when he says "En Yeush Ba'olam," is to penetrate into our knowledge that there's not even such a concept, that the Yerida, the going down, it's a total normal thing. It's a total healthy and normal thing to take a step back. The Yetzer Hara is going to grab you at that point to pull you more down. Your part, what you need to concentrate is not to go below the level that you're supposed to go. You go a little step back. That's okay. Just don't go too many steps back. Once you already go too many steps back, that's when the Yetzer Hara already got you. That's when it's very hard to climb back up. But when you fail the first time, nothing happened. Let me get back up, hit nari, me'afar kumi, brush off all the dirt, and continue going. That's why it's extremely important to constantly have this positive outlook that even when I fail sometimes, okay, nothing happened. Okay, so I failed this time. It's totally normal. Point to take to that, that we can derive from the holiday of Hanukkah. First of all, the motion of lighting the candle is diminished. The lighting another candle, it will diminish. There's nothing wrong with that. Then comes the next candle. Now I would light 3 candles. And tomorrow I'm going to light 4 candles. And at some point I'm going to go beyond nature and I'm going to light 8 candles. So it's only a process. It's steps. It's levels that I have to climb on. Eventually I will get to the point that I'm lighting my entire 36 candles that are really within me. And I will finish my journey. We spoke about it last week, or 2 weeks ago, that Yaakov Avinu, his life seemed like a tragic life. He had to go be exiled from his land. Then he was tricked by Lavan. Then he was tricked in business. Then his son got kidnapped. Then his daughter got raped. It seems like he had a very bad life. But that's just the journeys of Yaakov. The same way that Bnei Israel, the Jews, went on 42 journeys in the desert. That represents the 42 journeys in our life. We have journeys in our life. And every point of my life, I take a journey. On the journey, it's hard, but then I stop. And then I camp a little bit, and then I go to the next journey. So sometimes this going back, it's just a camping. I'm stopping, so I can get ready for my next journey. So we know we have 42 journeys in our life. Here I'm talking about the 36 candles of my that I'm lighting inside of me. But it doesn't matter the number. Don't get hooked on the number. It's the concept that there's always going to be the motion of lighting my candle. The candle will diminish. It's totally normal. I add now another candle and another candle. And eventually I will get to light my entire 36 candles. And I will get to the point that I reached my peak. And that's what I was created for. I was created to go in the rhythm of life. One time I'm up. One time I'm down. And it's totally normal. And when I'm down, I'm just exhaling to make room in my lungs to put more clean, fresh, new air. So don't let the Yetzer Hara cover and conceal the truth. And don't let your failure, so to say, quote unquote, it's not failure. It's just a step back for you to catch up momentum and to move on. Bezrat Hashem, in the holiday of Hanukkah, you have the ability to tap into this motion and to tap into this godly holy light, to derive the power that every time that you feel that you're going down, nothing happened. I'm just catching momentum. Bezrat Hashem, we should achieve our goals and fulfill our dreams. And that's Bezrat Hashem will happen very soon when Mashiach is going to come, when he's going to complete our journey and bring us to our ultimate success.